Amen. Thank you, worship team. How's it going, you guys? My name is Jermaine Harrison, if we have never met before, and I'm so glad that you're here. I've been around here at Watermark with the Watermark students team for over 13 years. This is a picture of my family, my wife, Hannah, my son, Winslow, and my daughter, Darcy, and they are my pride and joy. It is so fun to get to continue on and really wrap up our series we've been walking through called The Fight for Your Mind, where we've been looking at taking your thoughts captive and making them obedient to Christ, giving Christ the authority and the rulership over every thought that we might have. And so today, here I'll start by giving you our bottom line, and then we're going to work our way through a psalm that I think is so encouraging, and you would do well to commit this psalm to memory or to read it often. So here's the bottom line. You ready? Who God is and what God has done should lead us to turn to Him when our mind is troubled. Who God is and what God has done should lead you and me to turn to Him when our mind is troubled. And so I'm going to tell you a story that'll illustrate this point, and then we'll jump into God's word. All right, so in August, my family went out to dinner at In-N-Out, one of our favorite places. My son loves the In-N-Out burger. He loves the fries. But this particular day, he was not really interested in anything that we were eating. And we didn't really know why. And so we were just, you know, moving along with our dinner. We decided, let's go to tongue-in-cheek ice cream afterwards. Yeah, yep, it's the best. And so we go there, and we get ice cream, and Winslow gets what he loves to get, a strawberry ice cream, and he wasn't eating it. And we were like, what is going on? Something's off. We don't know what it was. And then we saw a couple friends of ours who are across the restaurant. And so my wife and I got up, and we were over there talking with these friends while our son Winslow was just sitting on the chair just like that. And then the unthinkable happened. He started to throw up. And I mean, it was I don't know how that much throw up came out of that tiny human. It was literally everywhere. Truly, the tongue-in-cheek worker, this high school kid, man, poor dude, but he had to work really hard to clean this up. He literally had to take that entire chair out of the restaurant, bring it out into the parking lot, and hose it down to get all of the throw-up out. This wasn't a couple of napkins kind of situation. And so it was everywhere, and we saw this happen, and guess what our son did immediately? He ran towards us. He ran towards his mom, and he ran towards his dad, and he asked us if he could go home. He ran to us, and he hugged us, and he was saying, please, can I go home? In that moment when his life was a mess, really, quite literally, what did he do? He didn't run to some random worker in the store. He didn't run to a complete stranger in the store. Who did he run to? He ran to his parents. He ran to people who he knew loved him, cared for him, and he trusted our character and our love for him. And the reason I tell you that story is because there's an interesting question I want you to reflect on. Where do you run? Where do you turn when your mind is troubled? Not when there's throw up all over the ground, but like when in your life, in your circumstances that you might be going through, when your mind is troubled, where do you turn? Where do you turn when you're stressed about school? Where do you turn when you're anxious about making the team? Where do you turn when you're insecure about how you look? Where do you turn when you feel like or you believe the lie that no one wants you around? Or where do you turn when you feel like you've been excluded from the friend group? You see, I was your age once, and if I were to honestly answer that question, a lot of the times I ran to things that would distract me, that would take my mind off of the thing that was troubling my mind. A lot of us turn to TV shows, our favorite TV show, or maybe to YouTube, or video games, or sports, or something fun, or even shopping, or whatever it might be, because we want to avoid having to deal with or feel and experience those difficult emotions. But here's what's true, and you know this is true, that no matter how long you distract yourself or try to run towards something else to keep your mind off of those difficult emotions, guess what? Whenever you're done shopping, or whenever you're done playing video games, or whenever you're done doing that fun thing to distract you, guess what? Those thoughts and those difficult emotions are waiting for you when you return. So where do you turn when your mind is troubled? So in our story, wouldn't it have been weird if my son started to run towards a stranger in that moment where his life was in trouble? That would have been really weird. Wouldn't it have been weird if he tried to pull up a YouTube video on his phone, on my phone to watch instead of running to his dad and to his mom? That would have been crazy. But instead, Winslow, our son, ran towards us because he trusted our character and he trusted that we loved him and cared for him. And that's why this message is so important to you and important for all of us. When your mind is troubled, if you don't know the character of God, if you don't understand his love and care and concern for you, you won't run to him. You'll run to something else because you think for some reason that other thing will give you the relief, the joy, the peace that you might crave. But if you truly know who God is, in those moments when your mind is troubled by anxiety and stress and just all of the cares of this world that you might be experiencing, you'll know exactly where to turn. To our God who loves us. And so we're going to spend the next few moments looking at the truth about God that should move us to turn to him when our mind is troubled. The truth about who God is that should move us to turn to him when our mind is troubled. And there's a very specific word in there I want you to pay attention to. It's a truth about God that should move us to turn to him when our mind is troubled, because here's what's true. In those moments when our mind is troubled, there are so many options or alternatives that we are tempted to run towards. But it should move us to our Father who loves us, who sees us, knows us, and cares about us. And so every single one of you has a choice to make every single day and sometimes multiple times throughout that day. Am I going to run to God because I know his character, I trust his character, I know that he sees me, I know that he cares about me, or am I going to run to something else when my mind is troubled? And so, if you have your Bible, I'm inviting you to turn with me to Psalm 103. In fact, if you have a physical Bible, you put it up. Let me see how many physical Bibles we got in the room. There we go. I love it. Hey, if you are in the room with your phone, no shame, but I want to encourage you every time you come to Wake to bring a physical Bible so that you can open it and read the scriptures and follow along with whoever is communicating truth from God's word. Your phone can be such an easy distraction. And so if you do have your phone, come back with me. I want to invite you to put it on Do Not Disturb. Head to the Bible app or wherever you look at scripture so that you can follow along in Psalm 103, because what we're going to see throughout Psalm 103 is the reason why you and I should run to God, should turn to him when our mind is troubled. Okay? And so let's start off with verses 1 and 2, which talks about our response when our mind is troubled. We're just going to look at point number 1 in verses 1 and 2. Our response when our mind is troubled. Psalm 103 is written by King David, who we've been talking about in big church, going through his life. And in verses 1 and 2, he tells you and I what we should do in those moments of anxiety, in those moments of stress, in those moments of confusion, in those moments where our mind is deeply troubled. Here's what he says you and I should do. Look with me at Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Now, doesn't that seem like a weird thing to do when you're stressed, when you're anxious, when you're troubled, when your mind can't stop and you don't know where to turn? he says that what we should do is bless God. Now, what does that even mean? What does it mean to bless the Lord, O my soul? It means that everything about you, all that you are, should celebrate who God is. And so David is saying, when my mind is troubled, when I'm anxious, when I'm in trouble, what I should do is look to the character and nature of God and celebrate all that he is. Celebrate his might, celebrate his power, celebrate his care and love for me. That's what I should do. My first response when I'm anxious, when I'm struggling, when I'm depressed, when my mind is troubled, I should bless the Lord. Why? Because we were created to worship. We were created to worship him. And in those moments where you are troubled, when your mind is troubled, if you focus on the creator of the earth who loves you and sees you and knows you and cares about what you're going through, it changes just your perspective. Gratitude for who God is puts into perspective whatever might be troubling our hearts and troubling our minds. And so our response when our mind is troubled should be to look to the character of God and celebrate all that he is. Then in Psalm 103, after he invites us to bless the Lord, oh my soul, look at what he says at the last part of verse 2, and forget not all his benefits. You understand that there are innumerable benefits to following God, to knowing God, to having a relationship with him, especially when it comes to our minds and the fight for our minds and taking our thoughts captive and making them obedient to Christ. He says, don't forget all of his benefits. It's kind of feels kind of weird to be thinking about your relationship with God based on what you can get out of it, right? It feels a little weird, but David is saying, hey, that is okay to consider the benefits of a relationship with God. And so our second point really is that. We're going to observe the benefits of God in verses 3 through 5 of Psalm 103. But before we go there, before we jump in to verses 3 through 5, let me illustrate it for you for a second. How many of you guys love Chick-fil-A? Yep, of course, of course, of course. Of course you do. How many of you guys have the Chick-fil-A app on your phone, or maybe your parents do, and you're racking up the points, all of that stuff? Amazing. Well, just a few days ago, it was my birthday, and because I love Chick-fil-A, hey, thank you, appreciate it, and have a relationship with Chick-fil-A, they gave me a reward on my birthday that I could get any dessert from them for free. That was a benefit of my partnership with Chick-fil-A. Some of you guys know you can rack up points and get stuff for free from Chick-fil-A. And so this is a screenshot of a girl on our team, Lauren McGee. She has 35,000 Chick-fil-A points because she runs all of our big events like Wake Retreat. And so sometimes if we're buying meals for leaders or students, she'll just get all of the points. And I calculated it. And if she bought just one chicken sandwich using these points, she could get 44 Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches for free. Isn't that crazy? Yep, you can. And guess what, guys? Guess what? At Wake Retreat, one of your meals will be Chick-fil-A. I knew that would be the excitement. And guess what? Someone had to get the points. And it is over 50,000 points. And you would think that it would go to someone who really needs it or someone who would love having it. But someone on our team was like, nope, I'm taking it all for myself. Can you guess who it is? Not me, not Hank. Jonathan Linder was like, I got all the points. So, come back. So, when you see him at Wake Retreat and you're biting into your Chick-fil-A chicken nugget and you see Jonathan Linder, just look at him and go, man, how could you? How could you take all the points? But anyways, there are benefits that come with that relationship. And even more significantly It is true that there are benefits that come with our relationship with the God of the universe. Look with me again at verses 3-5. Look at some of the benefits of our relationship with God. It says, who forgives all your iniquity. He forgives you. He loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to live, to die, and raise again from the dead so that you wouldn't have to pay the penalty for your sin because he did. He loved you so much that he did that. He heals all your diseases. That's another benefit. If you're wrestling with anxiety and depression and insecurity and addiction and physical healing even, do you know that ultimately one day all of those diseases will be healed? And that in this life, we get to experience some of those aspects of healing from our diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Maybe some of you need to hear that. That God delights in you. That he's not mad at you. That he's not just tolerating you. But that he's excited that you are his son or his daughter. And then it ends with, he who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Here's the thing. You can only experience those things if you have a relationship with God. And so if you're in this room and you've never surrendered your life to him and placed your faith and trust in him, you don't get to experience those benefits. But if you have, man, what an incredible privilege you have. And maybe if you're a follower of Jesus, you've been a Christian for as long as you can know it, as long as you can remember. My question for you is, do you run to him every day? Do you take advantage of those benefits of the forgiveness and the healing and the redemption and the fact that he sees you and delights in you? Do you take advantage of those benefits, or do you just let them pile up and forget about them? There are so many more benefits to being a child of God. And that when your mind is troubled, you can turn to him because of all of those things that he's ready to shower upon you as his son or as his daughter. And then thirdly, we'll look at, in Psalm 103, the character of God. This is another reason we should turn to him when our mind is troubled, because of who God is. Now, we don't have time. We could spend hours and hours going through all of these characteristics of God. But in verses 6-19, there are at least 10 unique characteristics of God that we're going to see that hopefully as you read it and listen to it, that you might think to yourself, man, I need to believe that. I need to hear that. I need to understand that characteristic of God more today than at any other time. Or maybe there's one that you go, man, that's really hard for me to believe or really hard for me to rest in. And this could be a great conversation that you have at your small group on Wednesday, just talking through these characteristics of who God is. So look with me at verses 6-19, and then we'll wrap up. Verses 6-19, Psalm 103. It's up on the screen as well. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. So God is righteous and God is just. And one day everything that is unrighteous and everything that is unjust will be made right. And that we will experience the ultimate righteous judgment of God, where he cleanses our world, where he heals all of the brokenness that there is. In verse 7 it says, he made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. Do you understand that God is a revealer? That's one of his characteristics. He wants to reveal himself to you and I. In fact, he does it all the time. If you've ever been on vacation or even just here in Dallas, Texas, and looked up and seen the sunset or seen the sun rise, that is God declaring his glory through the beauty of creation to you. That he took so much time and energy and effort to create these beautiful sunrises and sunsets to reveal that he loves you, that he is creative, that he is thoughtful about your life. In verse 8, it says that the Lord is merciful, that the Lord is gracious, that the Lord is slow to anger. Do you know that God is so, so patient with you? and that he is abounding in steadfast love. In other words, his love overflows. Verse 11, I think it is, if we'll slip over to that next slide. It says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. God's love cannot be measured. It says, if you try to measure from the ground upon which we stand to the end of the universe, which is impossible to measure, that is how great, how deep, how wide, how everlasting God's love is for you. About once a week, I sit down with my son, Winslow, right before he goes to bed, and we talk through, I ask him the question, hey, who loves you? And we talk through the fact that his parents love him, family loves him, community, friends, and all of the different people that love him. And then I always end the same way. But do you know who loves you first? You know who loves you most? Do you know who loves you best? It's God. God loves you first, God loves you most, and God loves you best. And that's not just good advice or thoughts for a two-year-old child. That's good advice and thoughts for all of us in this room, for those moments when our mind is troubled, that God loves you first, God loves you most, and God loves you best. And there's so many other characteristics of God in this chapter. God is a forgiver of sin. God is compassionate. God is patient. God is sovereign. And you should spend some time just sitting with and reading Psalm 103 because it is so powerful and beneficial. But as we wrap up, here's how the psalmist finishes Psalm 103. After he talks about all these benefits of God, and he talks about all these character traits of God that should move us to run towards him when our mind is troubled, here's what he says. He reminds us of our response. You know, the way that the chapter began, he ends it in the very same way. And in verse 22, he says, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And so he challenges, he calls you and I in those moments when we're stressed, in those moments when we're anxious, in those moments when we're discouraged, when our mind is troubled, that what we should do is look to the character and the nature and the kindness and the love of God that is most clearly demonstrated to us through his son, Jesus. And that we should celebrate all that God is. And so, where do you turn when your mind is troubled? Where do you turn? That's a question that only you can answer, and you can answer honestly. Where do you turn when your mind is troubled? Because who God is and what God has done should move us to turn toward him when our mind is troubled. And so I pray that when you're anxious, when you're discouraged, when you're struggling, when your mind is troubled, that you don't run towards anything else other than a loving Father, a great Creator who loves you, sees you, knows you, and wants a relationship with you, and wants to lavish you with the benefits and blessings of his character and nature and kindness. Let me pray that you would. God, we love you, and we're so grateful for who you are, and we're so grateful for all of the blessings and benefits that we get to experience because of our relationship with you. I pray, God, that every single person in this room would have a relationship with you, would put their faith and trust in you. And for those of us who already have, may we continue to seek to enjoy and experience the blessings and benefits of your character and your nature. We love you, and we're so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, see you guys at small group and at Wake Retreat. We love y'all. Goodbye.